Is there more to déjà vu than just our mind playing games with us? Of course there is. You have to check out the new action-adventure video game, Unknown 9 Awakening. You get to play as Haruna, a spiritually awakened heroine with the fantastic ability to venture into the fold, a mysterious dimension that is connected to our own. Her voice is gifted to us by the magical actress Anya Chalotra, who plays Yennefer on the Witcher series. In the game, Haruna is on a quest for powerful hidden knowledge and learns how to master her unique connection to the fold, which allows her to harness and channel its powers into our own world. But such great power does not go unnoticed. Because of her gifts, Haruna becomes a target of the Ascendants, a splinter faction of a secret society known as the Leap Year Society. The Ascendants' goal? To use the fold to alter human history for their own benefit. Their confrontations take them all over the world, from the sands of Mauritania to the perilous Indian jungles, and even to the gothic landscapes of Portugal. Get ready to dive into a mysterious parallel dimension. Unknown 9 Awakening releases on October 18th, 2004 for PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, and PC. Pre-order your copy today and learn more about the Unknown 9 universe at unknown9.com/mystery. That's unknown9.com/mystery.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Oh.
Did you just call me a hoe?
A little bit.
I call him as I see him.
If he's a hoe, then God help me.
Did you dye your hair?
Yes, I did.
Looks darker.
I didn't feel any more like blonde Josh. I felt like dark Josh. I usually go darker in the fall. As soon as September hits, I'm like, and now I'm a witch. I must look.
What is your problem?
My arm is flaccid.
That is awful.
I've never had that problem.
What's wrong with it?
Talking its ear a little bit, get it wet.
That's awful.
Flaccid.
I was going to say, what happened to the one over there? Did you eat it? Are you okay now?
Talk dirty so. To it.
Are you sure?
Come here, baby.
I've always found a tongue in the ear helps with that situation.
Come near my mouth.
Ew.
He said near.
I said near.
Ew.
You dirty birdie.
That did sound really dirty, didn't it?
Yes. This is gross.
You can tell he's a straight man because Kim and I are both like, I've never told a man to do that.
No.
It's always an unpleasant surprise.
No. Hey, you remember last week when Shane done his
Travel?
Johnny Appleseed and our story about hairy balls?
Yes.
I was editing that the other day.
He was
and
Googling
I'm like,
hairy balls.
Who the hell is Hairy Balls? I know who Hairy Balls is.
Oh, tell us who Hairy Balls is.
Hairy Balls was born on November 16th, 1886. He was an American politician who was the Republican mayor for Fort Wayne, Indiana, from 1934 to 1947, and again from 1951 until his death on May 9th, 1954.
He was a Scorpio.
He died in office.
And he was a Republican?
He was a Republican.
That's funny.
Hairy Balls.
Hairy Balls.
That's my godson's birthday.
It's funny
and my dog.
It's funny to me that they named the park after Johnny Appleseed. It's like the Johnny Appleseed Park or something, Memorial Park. I don't know what it is. But then they
call
like, name the street after a mayor by the name of Hairballs.
I would have went with a theme, like Orchard Drive, or you know, like stick with a theme.
Red Delicious Drive. Wouldn't that have been
lovely? That would have been nice.
But no, Hairballs.
Hairballs. No one wants Hairballs and apples.
No.
Gross.
Kim, I like your shirt.
I'm too old for this sheet.
I bought this last year right before. I didn't have enough time to wear it maybe once or twice before Halloween last year. So I was going to get my money out of it this year.
I got to find all my Halloween clothes. Now, you know, hocus pocus.
People could confuse that phrase for like a KKK.
Oh, please. It's a ghost.
I'm too old for this sheet.
She's just out in the open with it now.
I know. You live in a small town. It's easy to get in Indiana. Those rural people, I'm telling you what.
Especially Elwood, I've heard.
No kidding.
Elwood?
Yeah.
They used to have a Grand Dragon
Supposedly, they still do. One of my roommates after high school, she was from that area. And one day she's like, oh, hey, my grandparents are coming over. Is there like a way you could find something to do away from the house? I was like, why? You know, it's my house too. Why do I have to leave?
Yeah. She
was like, well, my grandpa's the Grand Dragon of the clan. I was like, and I'm not living with you anymore. I think I stayed there about a month. I was like, yes, I will go find something to do. I do not
I am going
be here.
To go find a new apartment is what I'm going to do.
I would disown my family.
That's awful. That's horrible.
I later worked with her at the nursing home, and I was like, oh, I bet people here don't know about Grandpa.
Grandpa isn't here, is he?
That's hilarious.
That's awful. Oh, terrible. Just terrible.
I do feel for people like that, though, because, I mean, you can't help what your family's into.
Right.
You know, and, you know,
but
some people.
There's no way in hell I'd be, like, telling people to leave the home that they live in so my clan Grand Dragon Grandpa can feel more comfortable. Come at me, bro.
I have an ancestor.
My family's a lot bigger than yours.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Probably should have just went to their house.
I have an ancestor that was a murderer. He murdered a guy. Yeah.
Mary, Queen of Scots?
No, it was a guy. His name was Silas. And we call him Silas the Scoundrel because he murdered a guy and was sent up the river.
How long ago was it? She's not a good
I can't remember. I would have to ask my mom.
She approaches us with Hairballs, but doesn't
I'm pretty sure it was late 1800s.
The one interesting thing about her family, and she don't know it.
I'll have to find out more about Silas just so that we can.
Where's he buried?
California, I think.
Oh my gosh. That's a long ways away.
Yeah.
Did he go out there for the gold rush?
I don't know if he went out there for the gold. No, I think he was just on the lam. He was on the run, and they caught him
there.
He was on the lam.
That's illegal.
Even in Indiana, you can't do that. But it does explain a lot about your family.
Yeah.
If he's out there doing lam.
Why she has those crooked back legs.
I wonder if that's why we have our crooked fingers. A lot of the girls in my family have crooked fingers.
You think it's because he was screwing
maybe
sheep.
Never know.
Poor things.
Some lambs.
I hate my fingers. I have my dad's hands, and I always thought his hands were not very pretty. And as I get older, I look at him and I'm like, looks like dad.
I know. I've noticed that within the last few years, and I'm starting to see age spots on the top of my hands. And I'm like, oh, my hands are starting to look like my mom's.
I always do that. When I was little, I would always look at grandma's hands and be like, grandma, your hands are see-through. And I'm like, oh, God. I do that skin test I learned from Fran Drescher on The Nanny. Mm-hmm. You take the back of your skin, and if you pull it and it snaps right back, you're good. But if you pull it and it stays up, you're getting up there. Mine's still snappy.
Kim, what's the verdict?
It took a second, but it went back down.
It was
down.
A little slow.
Well, so are you. That's how we describe Kim.
A little slow.
She'll snap back, but she's a little slow.
Old Barn Bless Dollar, the sheep screwing.
Well,
I don't think we have any murderers in our family. We have that one.
None that we can talk about.
Great grandpa that murdered himself, but that's about it.
Now, I do have a funny story, and I won't tell you any details, but One day I was talking to a relative. I'm going to tell you some details, just not specific details.
Okay, I was going to say, how can you tell us a story without telling us any kind of details?
I will tell you a story.
It was a warm summer day in 1987. There was a fly on the wall.
One day I was talking to a relative of ours, and we were joking around sort of that there was someone that we didn't care for. And the relative just ever so smoothly was like, well, we know someone who can take care of it for $5,000. I think it was either $5,000 or $10,000. And at first, I mean, I never heard this person talk like that. And I was like, is this person being real? So I asked, and they were like, yeah. I mean, that's how much it will take. And
700 like, to break the knees, 5,000 to...
10,000 to get rid of it.
There was somebody that I used to know that I'm almost positive he knew somebody that would do that.
You adjust your camera over that way.
I'm telling you, this thing won't stay still.
It's so loose. Isn't it? Isn't it annoying?
She's had a dollar for every time she's heard that. This thing is loose as hell.
It just works itself around.
Slowly turns away from
you. Keep an eye on it. We're going to have to figure out how to get that to stop that.
I'll keep a looking.
This must have been on dad's side of the family, because on our mom's side, people don't slyly slip stuff in. They're always just like a bull's in a china shop.
Right.
But I'm almost positive that I know somebody that could.
I could new never pay someone.
That could do that too.
Well, it's not.
I do it myself.
You can't just do it. I mean, you have to get rid of it and get rid of it good. You know, so I was thinking if I was in that type of business, I wouldn't be charging 10 grand. I would be asking for like 20 grand.
Well, how long ago was this? Because I'm sure it's a lot more than that.
Oh,
now.
Inflation.
Yeah.
Oh, cost of living's gone up.
Right. Because the cost of death. Speaking of death, boy, this just brings me right into something I wanted to ask you.
Oh, my God. That's scary.
Last week, you know, I like to just talk about my weeks. Last week, I was at someone's house.
Whore.
And I saw, God, I'm not you. Calm down. And I saw this obituary.
Obituary?
That's Kim. An obituary. Obituary. So it was an obituary. And but anyway, so I saw this obituary, and it was just in the newspaper in this town. And the photo immediately caught my glance. That's what brought me to it. Because I don't normally search through obituaries, but it was just laying on the table, and I have seen this small photo. And so today, I have printed it out for you both, and I have made it a little bit larger. And when I first saw this photo, I thought this person is dead, laying in a casket, and they've taken a photo of him and used it as their obituary.
Okay. Oh my God.
Newspaper. But other people that I was around disagreed. They're like, no, I don't think they would do that, first of all. Second off, I mean, it's a weird photo, but I don't think that that's what I'm seeing. But they have an online colored version now, right? And I just saw this colored version today.
This is why you jumped when I walked into your office, because you were printing this.
Don't look at my computer.
Yeah, don't look at my photo, Cam. But anyway, so I'm convinced that this is a picture that someone took of this person inside of a casket.
Okay.
But I want your guys' opinion to see if I am right or wrong. And for Patreon, we might post the picture. I'll let you guys decide. But don't show it around to the camera. Because I don't want to be, you know, insensitive.
Don't look. We'll look at it at the exact same time, Josh.
Oh, God. Heart attack.
You only printed one.
Yeah, I only printed one. What do you think, Kim? What's your...
I don't think it's in a casket.
You don't think so?
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, let me show Josh. Look, it's like we're passing around some drugs.
Oh, no.
You don't
He's
think
alive.
That? Yeah.
The flesh around his eyes hasn't started to recede or shrunken.
Now,
his
eyes are open, too. While still looking at that, because it's a colored version and I've made it a little bigger, do you see that they have painted a shirt on him?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Well, he looks... To me, he looks like he was probably like in a nursing home or hospital for a while based on his hair and like how he is laying down like that. So he's
just like someone
shirtless.
Would be in a casket, Josh.
Yeah.
Laying on
but
a...
But he looks alive. Like his eyes aren't dead.
A white pillow.
Like, I mean, they're open and not like...
Not a death stare. Yeah. Let me see that again. I want to see the shirt.
Yeah, that shirt is like... Badly
and
photoshopped
I feel like there. They have like done a little bit of editing around his beard, but the shirt is definitely photoshopped. And then, I mean, not a good photoshop either. They just like painted it on.
Oh yeah.
If I die, there is in my notes section on my phone and computer.
I mean, I'm convinced.
A list and a picture. Do not use a bad picture in my obituary. I will burn down your house.
I know. I don't think it's in.
I do.
Basket.
Well, I mean. He's on a pillow.
Well, it's a white also, cotton pillow,
they
too.
They painted a shirt on him.
It would also explain why he looks like he's got something in his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Because they stuff your mouth with cotton.
He looks like the type of man that probably didn't take a lot of pictures of himself. So that was probably like the only one that they
maybe
could
but
find.
He does look like he has color. It doesn't look like that he's got makeup on or...
But, I mean, they have lights and stuff. That will kind of help you with that.
True.
And if they're already editing the photo, they'll just put a little filter on it.
I've seen enough dead bodies. That's not. That's
yeah,
a, that's
I don't
a fresh
think,
one.
I mean, I have seen.
I don't
too.
Think it.
And maybe the person wasn't dead very long.
He could have just died.
Even right as soon as they go, you can like just tell looking at it. I mean, mm-hmm. How many times have I walked into someone's room and be like, "Good morning."
You did.
Nope.
You did.
I'm just going to take this breakfast and it's mine now.
Yeah. It's definitely an odd photo.
Yeah.
Bless his heart. Rest in peace.
I think someone was fibbing it.
Now, was this somebody that the people that you were with knew or is just Sam Rundy? Okay.
No. They do have like wording and stuff in the actual obit.
I feel like... The picture they used for our grandma's obituary, I feel that was our uncle's woman he was with at the time, like her payback for grandma not liking her.
I don't know.
It was such a, like, grandma specifically went and had pictures taken in a park. I went with her for her obituary. And they, ignored them. They used one of her just in a coat with her hair real short. She always wore pin curls. And towards the later end of her life, she just didn't have the energy to do it. So she cut her hair short. And her hair was short, had like one of those cheer bows, like the oversized bows that she had. It was like a gag photo.
Oh, okay. All right.
And they used that for her obituary. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, Grandma is rolling in her grave. All those pictures of her
bad.
Where she looks gorgeous. And I'm like, that see you next Tuesday. She did this on purpose.
No, when I saw it, I thought, well, it's a cute photo of grandma, but, you know, normally obituaries, at least I'm just used to them being, you know, like...
Dignified.
Yeah. And so I knew, like, grandma liked her dignified photos, and I was like, well, someone quickly
all
picked
the years she put
cute recent
pin
one.
Curls in her hair every other night when she'd wash it, and nobody... I'm like, she is...
None of those
Someone's
photos.
Getting haunted, and karma does come back.
Oh, my God. Now all this talk about obituary pictures, now I'm thinking, what picture do I want for my obituary?
Do that one of your high school with the mullet.
With the mullet.
And the Dorothy's Bornak shoulder pads. Yeah. We'll be there, Kim. That'll be one funeral we go to, and we'll do a roast.
Thanks.
I
would not expect anything else.
Put her in the ground. Start the fire.
I'm going to walk by her casket and slam it shut.
You know what you did.
Burn her. Make sure she's dead.
Hey, guess what?
What?
We got some postcards.
Oh, good.
And we got the coolest postcard. The coolest.
We're getting a good little wall filled. She can't touch him.
Her nails. I just can't get a hold of
him. Oh, we got a plethora.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, no, one of them's real thick.
Oh,
it's wood.
Ooh.
I have never, ever seen a postcard like that. Isn't that cool?
Smack my ass and call me Susie.
Here, Josh, you want to read the wooden one?
Oh.
From Nevada.
Oh. Never had wood from... Actually, no, let's scratch that.
I was going to say...
I forgot we went to Vegas.
I was about to say, did you forget about texting me?
That was some good... Still think about him. Hey, gang, I'm visiting my home state of Nevada. Nevada was admitted to the Union in 1864 during the Civil War. The state motto is Battle Born. Nevada has a rich history of Native Americans, Basque miners, and gambling. Love, Jennifer Smith. Sammamish. Sammamish. I can't read that. I'm sorry, Jennifer, but this is a beautiful postcard.
It is so cool.
I've never seen it. It's a thick wooden postcard.
I almost couldn't get it out of the box because they had it flat.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, the box isn't that big, you know.
Yeah, it's
and
on the ground.
Yeah. And I couldn't hardly get in there. And then my fingernails are so long because they need to be redone, which that's going to be next week. And so I couldn't get a hold of it. And I'm like, how am I going to get? And I tried to, you know, just pull it. It wouldn't pull. And I was like, my God, how am I going to do this? So I got my thumb stuck underneath it and lifted it up. And I'm like, okay, don't fall. Don't fall. And then finally got to grab a hold of it and pull it out.
I love Nevada. I thought it was such a beautiful state. It was the first time I've ever been anywhere where they weren't like trees, mm-hmm. like forests and just gorgeous. The heat. I didn't care for Vegas. It was too busy, too crowded, too much. Right. But outside, we're in the desert mm-hmm. when there weren't any people. Lovely. Yeah. Yeah,
I the one regret that I have in Vegas is we did not drive the full strip. I would have loved to have gone from one end to the other. But we didn't do that.
Well, you must not have been with me when I did it.
I loved when we walked around.
Yeah, that must have been before we got there.
One of our last nights there, Kim had dinner, and I got an output in an elevator with the showgirl. Mm-hmm. And Kim's like, I don't know how you walk around. And I'm like, where'd you buy that?
Yeah. He was making sure they knew that he was. He was knuckling.
I always do. Don't worry. I'm not a predator. You're safe, girl.
Kim, you should start wearing a dress up girl like outfit like that.
I have a couple.
Oh, my God.
It's fun. It makes you feel powerful.
This episode is going to be aired the first week in October.
Good heavens.
So in a little while, we're going to talk about what our thing is going to be on Patreon.
Well, happy birthday to me. I'm 34 in this episode.
Or is he? Everyone's going to be thinking, maybe he's just down in his real age.
29 again.
We also have two more postcards. So both of them were sent by MT, who joins us from Patreon. And this one has a slug on it, and it says, do you think the world is ready for a postcard of an Oregon slug? And look at that slug.
That thing is scary.
Big slug.
The other one I saw just from a distance, I was like, ooh, is that Lord of the Rings?
And then she says, hey, Mystery Inc., you asked for more postcards. Hope at least one of you can find the humor in this one. Kim, it kind of looks like you. Small, wet,
slimy.
This is weird. The regular episode, so I cannot say what I want to say to you or I did at this point in time. Just know that I want to say that.
Oh, it is a cute little slug, though.
It is. Aww. And then her other postcard has Oregon on it, and it has a bunch of falls. It has Multnomah Falls, Horsetail Falls, and two other falls I can't pronounce.
They are gushing in Oregon.
Wanatata? Wanata? We'll call it Wanata. That's probably not. That doesn't sound like a fall in Oregon, but Wanata Falls and Bridal Veil Falls.
I've heard of that one.
All of those are real cool looking.
We should be getting a bunch more. I had somebody email me yesterday. I'm sorry, I do not remember who it was. But they emailed me getting the address because they had a bunch of postcards they were going to send.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, good.
So MT on this postcard says, hey, gang, thanks for all the great content. Game night was so much fun.
Smiley it was. Face.
And I love the postcards that MT used. Yeah, little school buses.
We have quite a few falls around us here in Wabash. None are like really large, but I mean, coming from Muncie, where there are no waterfalls that are natural, just like old dams and stuff, I think they're so pretty. One's right by my house. Although there's signs everywhere that's like, don't touch the water, there's poop in it. Like, oh,
Oh, thanks.
Lovely.
There's poop in it.
Why didn't you tell me this a couple weeks ago?
Right.
Right, right. Would have saved me 15 pounds.
So whose mystery is it today?
It's Josh's.
Tis mine.
Oh, Josh, what did you bring?
I'm ready.
Is that a crystal ball?
It is. It's my little crystal travel ball.
That's cute.
And look into it, yeah. Got to keep it covered, though. That's one thing that whenever you buy a crystal ball, they're like, oh, keep it covered. And when I was younger, I was like, oh, because the spirits. And they're like, no, because if the sun hits this, it'll catch your house on fire. So they're very dangerous. Who knew?
Oh, my God.
Well, I have two papers for you, even though I printed them knowing you guys wouldn't be able to. That one's yours, Shane, and this one is Kim's. It's basically nonsense to you guys, but I did our star charts.
Oh. Okay.
I texted you earlier in the week and said my mystery is I have one that's specifically for each of us. You need only us. So today I was inspired by my mystery while watching the movie Elizabeth starring Kate Blanchett. More specifically, I was inspired by her astrologer and friend, John Dee. He was one of the foremost scholars in Renaissance England and was knowledgeable in astrology and the occult, among many other things. His ideas affected how Britain was ran, and Elizabeth I looked to him often when she needed help making decisions, whether it was to decide who to appoint to a privy council or determine if she should go to war. John Dee's life work was to find the universal language that God first spoke to Adam, the first man, based on Christian mythology. I believe that the universal language is vibrations, which is what all language is, the vibration of our vocal cords. And I have a picture of Queen Elizabeth.
Why is that maybe having so much problems?
Why is it always mine? Bitch. There we go.
It's working, Josh. Working just fine.
And I have a picture of Queen Elizabeth. This is her rainbow portrait. And I have a little arrow pointed to, it's hard to see in the photo, but I didn't want to make it too big. Colored ink is expensive. I didn't want to print a whole page size. But I found it fascinating that one of the most popular and successful rulers in Europe's history was partially because of what was written in the stars and deciphered by John Dee. You can see clues to her belief in astrology in an armillary sphere painted above the snake on her sleeve. An armillary sphere is an early astronomical device that represents the great circles of the heavens, and Elizabeth's mother, Anne Boleyn, also wore one. You can even see photos of the people that were close to Elizabeth, photos, portraits, that they would also have them painted as well to signify that they were a part of Elizabeth's court.
What do you think she's holding?
Let me see. I don't know. I believe that is a feather, to my knowledge. Hmm. This is one of my favorite portraits of Queen Elizabeth I, because there is, it's pretty much nothing but symbolism. Everything in there has a hidden meaning, and it's just a gorgeous portrait. That's her in her so Gloriana days.
I would get so hot. You want to see Kim?
Well, I mean, England was chilly most of the time.
That's why I was talking to Winnie today, and she was saying, yeah, it's rainy and so cold outside. And I was like, gosh, it's hot here.
Right. Well, I mean, until more recently, most places there don't even have AC because they just never really needed it.
Yeah. And then now when they kind of need it, it's only typically for like a 2 week or 3 week period, I guess.
Yeah, I love the movie called Elizabeth. And then there's a sequel to it as well. Mm. Kate Blanchett plays Queen Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. And she's my favorite actress who's ever played Elizabeth. She does such a great job at it.
She's a ginger.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she is. Like her father, King Henry VIII.
She is beautiful.
Some say the very idea of a British empire is thanks to John Dee and how he deciphered the stars. So, I decided to consult our star charts to determine our own destinies.
Oh boy.
I wanted to see how accurate our beliefs about ourselves have been so far and find out how the stars predict our future. Today we shall learn, using astrology, numerology, and a bit of occult knowledge, to see exactly what the stars, planets, and dates of each of our births have to say. I have already done mine several times, so I will start with the oldest and work down to the prettiest.
Oh, great. Thanks.
Age before beauty, so Kim is first.
And I'm last.
That's bold.
You're so funny. But I respect your self-confidence. Well, Kim was born on August 7th, 1968. I didn't know exactly where, so I put the Winchester area.
It was Winchester.
Oh, good.
In a barn.
In a barn. Nope. Old barn.
Winchester Hospital.
Kim, you were born under a waxing gibbous moon, which is basically a half moon, on a Wednesday with the life path number 3. Your sun sign is a Leo. Your moon sign is Capricorn, and your rising, or also called ascending sign, is also a Leo. So you have a double Leo star sign. Starting with your life path number 3 indicates you have a very appealing personality with a lot of positivity as well, which helps you bond with a lot of different types of people.
It's like it knows me.
I say that would be true because, like, you have a wide range of people who are in your life, mm-hmm. and you're not the type to not be friends with someone based on anything mm-hmm. other than how they
are
treat
as a
you.
Person. Yep.
Like, if they're, you know, you don't surround yourself with negativity and shitty people, except your daughter, but you have.
She'll be happy to hear that.
Does she listen to us?
No.
Bitch.
Not unless I send her a clip. If we talk about her or something, I'll record it while
I'm
editing.
She doesn't even support us by listening.
You have a charm that attracts people to you, and your creative skills become an added advantage to lure more people towards you, like our podcast. Furthermore, you are quiet, friendly, and cheerful, which makes you all the more inspiring as an artist and as an individual. Also, it is noted that people with this life path number are a bit careless and do not pay much heed to their responsibilities. Thus, you may face some problems in managing money, as you may be very disorganized and not quite serious monetarily.
I don't know about that.
Oh, well, I believe it. How many times you get Subway, but then the next week she's like, oh, I don't have much money.
She got her nails done, but her washer just now got there after how many?
She'll have Subway daily, but and her nails done.
My washer works so good.
But a broken washer.
She just can't get off of it.
I know. She got the most. That's why you wanted that
she
little thing.
She wanted the strong.
It's not near as the old one spun a lot harder and it shook a lot.
Oh, that's disappointing.
This one's got like a lot of technology on it to keep it from shaking, so it doesn't shake near as bad as the old one does.
The old one's in her bedroom.
That's in her spare room, Josh.
As mentioned earlier, you are very sentimental, apart from being a bit unfortified in your essence. And that is why when you, as a life path number 3, personality and emotionally hurt, you tend to become silent and reserved.
Oh my God, that's so true.
And you may not feel like interacting with people around you for several days.
Mm-hmm.
However, you may go back to being your usual self by using your sense of humor. Doing so may give people the impression that you have overcome your issues, which is usually not the case, as you may be covering up your real emotions. So this means that you do have the potential to become depressed, temperamental, and skeptical at times, which might make you lose control over your feelings. You may also end up being sarcastic at times, which may hurt people around you as well. Thus, it is better to avoid being too harsh on people, but rather be influential by being more optimistic and enthusiastic by nature, the way you naturally are. This, in turn, can also boost your creative side and help you express the same in a much happier way that will not only inspire you, but others around you as well. With Leo as your sun and rising sign, it's a double whammy. Leo is a zodiac sign known for its magnetic charisma, confidence, and creativity, a fixed fire sign with an energetic and fun-loving disposition.
I wish I had Hormone Harmony when I was younger and still on my monthly visits from Aunt Flo. They were always the worst time of the month for me. And then when that monster menopause came creeping around, it was no different. I started taking Hormone Harmony because I was tired of suffering through hormone changes constantly raging in my body. I wasn't sleeping. I was always getting hot flashes that were so bad that I swore I started smelling bacon. Whether your Aunt Flo is still paying you a visit or you want some help unmasking the menopause monster, Hormone Harmony has made it easier than ever. They're zero sugar, gluten, and dairy-free, non-GMO or third-party testing products help trap the symptoms of hormonal imbalance. Hot flashes and night sweats, feeling groggy, poor sleep, racing thoughts and low moods, uncomfortable gas and bloating, or even a low sex drive. Hormone Harmony can help with all of that. Don't you think it's time to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MYSTERY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com. And use the code MYSTERY for 15% off today.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Leos are also the fire sign with the most staying power and stick to their opinion once it's formed. It is linked to the fifth house in astrology, and Leo reigns over the realms of self-expression, children, playfulness, drama, and performance. As a result, they energize and positively affect those around them, which is why they tend to be the life of the party. You also share a Leo rising with Marilyn Monroe.
Ooh.
That was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The symbol of the Leo is the lion, and those with Leo rising exude a radiant aura that commands attention and leaves a mark on everyone they meet. Even when faced with life, challenges, or crisis, Leo risings maintain a sunny disposition and usually won't let it show publicly. Although you do have that rest in bitch face. Physically, though, they are shorter than they want to be. They have a strong constitution as well. They have prominent facial features and hair that resembles the mane of a lion, as well as a regal disposition and exaggerated mannerisms. They are also prone to heart problems, anxiety, hard work, and exhaustion. But Leos are consistent, determined, and very strong-willed. Now, with your moon in Capricorn, which is an earth sign, it is known for its discipline, ambition, and resilience. The Capricorn moon revolves around stability, structure, and a grounded approach to life's challenges. People with their moon in Capricorn possess a strong sense of duty, often prioritizing their responsibilities and goals above all else. Those with their moon in Capricorn are truly the embodiment of resilience and unwavering resolve. Their characteristics form a tapestry of strength and make them a unique person in the astrological spectrum. In relationships, Capricorn moons value consistency and loyalty. They are not the type to fall in love quickly or engage in fleeting romantic escapades. Instead, they seek a partner willing to build a relationship with a firm foundation that can endure life's challenges. Understanding, patience, and mutual respect are key to nurturing a loving relationship with you, where both partners can grow, anchored in stability and the depth of their bonds. Your love languages are acts of service and quality time. So, like, acts of service, when a lot of people, when they first hear that, they're like, I don't want someone, you know, waiting on me hand and foot. But it can be something which is similar to myself, like doing the dishes without having to be told, not expecting everything to be, you know, your responsibility. Mm-hmm. Like, for you to come home and, hey, honey, I made dinner or reservations, you know, go freshen up and let's go have a good time and spend quality time. Mm-hmm. And even quality time, that can be sitting in a room silently, but together.
Right.
While Capricorn moons have a robust exterior, their emotional health requires nurturing to prevent the buildup of stress and maintain mental wellness. Their approach to life often means they may overlook or undervalue the importance of addressing emotional needs, viewing them as secondary to their responsibilities and goals. Learning to acknowledge and process emotions is key for Capricorn moons. They might benefit from setting aside time for self-reflection through journaling or meditation to understand and work through their feelings instead of keeping them locked up. Certain health areas may require more attention for those with their moon in Capricorn, including joints, especially the knees, bones, and teeth, which are all ruled by Capricorn. Paying attention to these areas through regular checkups, calcium-rich diets, and activities that strengthen these body parts is advisable. The person born with Sun in Leo and the Moon in Capricorn often seems like a walking contradiction. While they typically long to be the center of attention, their fiery flamboyance is balanced with an earthly practicality and conservatism. These confident and charismatic people usually don't take no for an answer. While Sun in Leo means they tend to seek out approval and attention, the Moon in Capricorn gives them more respect for tradition and the discipline to get things done. Your Capricorn moon equally balances your Leo, which is why I was actually surprised when I saw that you were a Leo. You're very balanced with your Capricorn moon, because most Leo people, they're like Marilyn Monroe, you know, look at me, but she also had an ability in her to turn it off, where she would, you know, not wear the Marilyn Monroe garb, and people often wouldn't recognize her. It's something that Leos can generally turn on and off at their will. But even with your Sun and ascending in the fiery Leo, your Earth Capricorn moon brings you and keeps you down to Earth. And that's what makes you very grounded. Earth Mother is what I would call you.
Oh, isn't that nice?
I call her something else.
You call her many things.
I think that's pretty on.
I felt that it was as I was reading it. Now to Shane.
Oh boy.
You were born in Muncie, Indiana on June 20th, 1989. You were born under a waning gibbous moon, almost the opposite of Kim. Your life path number is 8. Your sun is in Gemini, moon in Sagittarius, and your ascending sign is in Cancer. You were born on the last day of spring in 1989, and your birthday signifies the end of a season and the birth of another. You have a mix of an air, fire, and water sign. And beginning with your life path number 8, people with a life path number 8 are usually associated with being natural and prolific leaders. They have excellent management skills and are always up to achieving something great, especially when involved in financial or business matters. There is clarity in their understanding of the physical and the material world, which puts them at the top of their game. They tend to know what may or may not work through their intuitions. They are here to serve a greater vision and a higher purpose to attain something enormous in magnitude. Even when you do try to share your goals with a specific understanding that people may not be able to reciprocate, you push them to come out of their comfort zones to put more efforts to reach that goal.
Boy, don't I know it.
Get off your ass, Ken. You are an action-oriented person, and that is why people seek power, courage, and some motivation from you to keep on giving their best, as you are the one who inspires them the most. They want you to provide them with a little push so that they can work hard and prove themselves to be passionate as well. Being a hardworking and intellectual soul, you are very good at reading people. It helps you reach out to the right kind of people who can be on the same page as you. And you give a lot of importance to power and money, and you tend to thrive on it. But you will have to make sure that you do everything correctly, because there is a thin line between being confident and overconfident. Another essential feature in people with 8 as their life path number is that they are not very expressive of their love or affection to others.
You just have to know what to look for.
Yeah. When he calls you a dirty, rotten B-word.
Yeah, I know he means I love you.
I love you, Kim, and my life would not be complete without you.
Oh, I'm so glad you woke up today, Kim.
We have the best love language.
Now on to your sun sign in Gemini, the twins. The sun in Gemini from about May 20th to June 21st. So you're right on the end of the Gemini. People born with the sun placement are highly intelligent, curious, flexible, and communicative. Gemini suns have a dual nature that helps them adapt to almost any environment. However, some misunderstand this trait as possibly dishonest, inconsistent, or manipulative. I never see that because I'm similar in that way where we read a room and then we kind of code switch to make ourselves fit into that room so we don't make others uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But I have had people tell me in the past, like, you don't seem genuine. I'm like, I'm just trying to make it through this party so I can go home. The sun represents your core identity, and those born while it's traveling across Gemini are imbued with the traits of this zodiac sign, meaning you likely have a dualistic nature that makes you flexible, sociable, witty, and expressive. You are also highly intelligent and curious, which lines up with your life path number 8. And you prefer to know a little about everything instead of everything about one or two topics. Gemini rules the third house, which is governed by the planet of motion and communication, Mercury. This makes Geminis excellent and often chatty communicators. You love receiving and sharing information almost as fast as you can learn it. Gemini is an air sign, and air signs are typically rational, aloof, and detached somewhat in nature. I'm also an air sign. The Gemini zodiac sign is also mutable, meaning it comes at the end of a season, and has adaptable, flexible qualities to help it wrap up that season. Another of Gemini's most recognizable traits is their ability to talk and talk and talk and talk.
Me?
I laughed out loud when I read this. I'm like, girl.
He talks just to hear himself talk.
Well, it's very weird, especially knowing him since literally birth, because you were, compared to the two of us, you were the quiet, reserved child. Mm. Like, I don't remember, like, I feel like you hardly said a word as kids, especially with me. I was so loud and a screamer. But now I feel like we've kind of switched roles on that, where I can be chatty if need be, but not so much.
And he's still a screamer.
Screaming and moaning. With your Gemini sun, you are a natural communicator and often called the chatterbox of the zodiac. You enjoy offering your opinions and experiences regardless of the topic and see communication as a vehicle to relay all of the fascinating information you have picked up. You tend to be articulate and clear when you communicate and don't struggle to express yourself. That being said, you may struggle to talk about your emotions until you've overanalyzed them and know the perfect way to describe them. As a Gemini sun, you are a natural shapeshifter and lover of change. However, some people might struggle to understand the real you as a result, and this can lead others into thinking that you are noncommittal, possibly flaky, untrustworthy, or even manipulative.
Mm, all of the above.
Your detached nature doesn't help either. You can be emotionally aloof or use humor to deflect deeper conversations, sometimes leaving a wedge between you and others who are trying to learn more about you. I laughed at that one too. Mm-hmm. That was spot on.
Yeah.
Now your moon in Sagittarius, remember this, dearest listeners, means that you are usually a positive person. They love their freedom and cannot stay cooped up indoors. Their outlook towards life is happy-go-lucky. They are very strong and active and indulge in activities that require physical efforts. They love to travel and meet new people and learn about all different types of cultures. They are mostly cheerful in open spaces. And even when faced with tough situations, these people are spirited in their approach and hardly ever become negative. People with the moon in Sagittarius crave power and status. They can have a dual personality as well, like Gemini, and can act independent and irresponsible at the same time. This also can cause them to become temperamental. They can be too impulsive and can often not look before they leap. Also, they have a philosophical streak in them, and the best way to keep up with them is to just let them be themselves without nagging them too much. These people can go to any lengths to impress other people, thus making them prone to boasting and bragging. They also have the tendency to be too harsh with the truth and lack the art of tackling situations skillfully, which can lead to others thinking them to be insensitive. I told our listeners to remember the moon in Sagittarius because I learned I also have the same moon sign as you.
No, that's fine.
Your ascending sign in Cancer helps you balance your other two signs, as it is quite the opposite of them. Rising in Cancer means people are family-oriented, possessive, caring, sympathetic, and sweet. Emotions play a strong part in your life. But you can also be shy, subdued, and sensitive to criticism. On the other hand, they may appear moody, insecure, or overly sensitive at times. They do not care about the finer things in life, but value security and life above all else. When they feel secure, their personality begins to bloom, which is really helps balance your Gemini and Sagittarius, which is more about the finer things in life. But this really brings you back down to where I believe it's true that you prefer to have security and stability over gorgeous, nice, you know, you do have nice things, but you'd rather have a home and stability. They may also be influenced by others. Cancers are usually very tall and curvy and have attractive hands and beautiful skin. I hate you for that. Use a bar of soap. And they put their weight on in the hips. The body has a tendency to also retain water, and you also deal with stomach and digestive issues. The mood of behavior is cardinal, and therefore Cancers are assertive and inventive and have initiative. The element water represents a nurturing and sensitive disposition, and negative polarity gives them an introverted nature. Overall, your signs have worked for you, giving you all of their positive and negative influences that work together to keep you grounded. Your fire sign is fed by your air sign, but your water rising helps to diminish the negative sides of both, because those signs, and they help keep you from getting a big head. I've never once thought of you really as a boastful person, and I believe that is partially due to your rising in Cancer. I also want everyone to remember that while your star chart can help you, it is not finite. Along with our soul contracts, star charts, and the trauma we endure throughout our lives, it all plays a vital role in how we turn out in the decisions that we make. So not everything you read in a star chart is going to be completely accurate based on the traumas that you've went through in your life. And lastly, we get to mine. I was born on September 28th, 1990 in Muncie, Indiana as well, in the same place Shane was, under a waxing gibbous moon, under the sun sign of Libra. My moon is also Sagittarius, so I imbue the same characteristics of Shane in that aspect, which I think has helped make us have a pretty diplomatic relationship as siblings growing up. Even as kids, you know, we shared a stinking room for 15 years. Of course, we're going to bicker and pick on each other, but we were never like, I hear of other siblings and I'm like, my God, you were abused. I always felt that we were there for each other. My life path number is 2 and my ascending sign is Virgo. I have earth, air, and fire placements. People who have the life path number 2 are peace lovers. They are emotional, sympathetic, reserved, and conservative in nature. These characteristics of life path number 2 have both an advantage and disadvantage depending on how they use these qualities. However, they are also so perceptive and thoughtful, they either make use of the skills they have or they restrain and subdue them. However, these can be perceived positively as well and are admirable traits which can be used for our own good. I am a peace-loving person and like to spend time in nature, listen to music and poetry, which can help you soothe yourself in the environment you live in. I appreciate charm, beauty, and elegance, and not just that. I may also have the power to heal myself and others. And keep in mind that I can be oversensitive, which is a real drawback of the life path number 2. I may not be able to deal with certain circumstances due to the nature of your sentiments that you are usually driven by while making big decisions. I am emotional by nature and therefore often try to suppress or hold back my thoughts and do not let them flow outside as I do not convey them, which can be frustrating at times, and I may tend to be irritated and agitated as well. But it is all about having patience and continue to improve on controlling my sentiments rather than avoiding conversations with people around me. I laughed at that one. I'm like, oh, calling me out. It is all about realizing the fact that you have an immense amount of power and that you can use the same power for my own good. You can channel your energies towards reaching your aim, and that helps you in achieving things in a better way. The fact that you are conscious enough to use this strength makes you grab a hold of various opportunities to make the best of them, which is one of my strongest points. Now, my sun in Libra means that I can be indecisive in nature and spend long hours making a simple decision. I also have people-pleasing tendencies, and I want to please everyone and have trouble in committing to others. I may tend to procrastinate and pile up. Also, when things don't work out as I want them to, I also have a habit of self-sabotaging. I can feel as if the world is ending and everyone is against you at that point. I also have a tendency to hurt others and will not think before speaking sometimes. I can be fussy in any given situation and take decisions as per my benefit. I can also not give priority to others' viewpoints, which can make me somewhat self-centered. My hunger to win any competition also makes me indecisive. Libras are generally thought to be sociable, somewhat intellectual souls. They have an almost innocent way about them that makes them very approachable. And typically, we are quite eager to cooperate. Librans spend much of their time trying not to rock the boat. Because we seek balance in our lives, we are always searching for the middle ground. This is where our reputation for untruthfulness can come from. Generally, our white lies spring from a true desire for peace and fairness. Although they may not be comfortable with direct and malicious trickery, they feel totally justified when they lie in order to avoid making waves, which, hell yeah, I think that's what I did mostly growing up in our mom's side of the family, because, you know, people would come to me and start talking crap about their sister or brother or whatnot. And then as soon as they leave, that sister or brother comes up. What'd they say about me? Oh, nothing. Mm-hmm. She was asking me for a recipe for a macaroni and cheese. Our motto is peace at any price. In this sense, they seem harmless, but that can result in quite a ruckus sometimes. For Librans, love is all about give and take. Relationships must be fair and balanced, or I will not be satisfied. I'm an expert at creating harmony and maintaining peace, and will do everything in my power to keep things easygoing in my relationships. We strive to create solid, equal relationships with all of our friends and families. You prefer to get together with friends one-on-one as opposed to big group settings, so you can devote real, undivided attention to each other. Because my sign is ruled by the planet Venus, you possess a natural charm and grace that easily draws others towards you. Venus is the planet of love. And what sets Libras apart? This I put just because I'm like, that is so funny that this was in there when I'm literally the not-so-evil queen. Who is the fairest of them all? Libras. We treat everyone with the same respect and kindness and won't pass judgment on others until you truly understand all sides of a person and their situation. Now, I did go a little bit further into Libra since I've already covered Moon and Sagittarius on your chart. I didn't have to on mine. You can just rewind a little bit if you don't remember, listeners. And my ascending sign is in Virgo, and that means that I can be intelligent, but a little shy and reserved. Virgo ascendings are conservative, tactful, and modest, so that really balances out the superficial, beauty-obsessed Libra in me. Sometimes. On the inside, they are loyal and dependable, but they can be self-critical and critical of others. They attach utmost importance to minute details, tending to be perfectionist. Besides, they are charming in their own way. Though they may be inhibited a bit, they are known for practicality, and in private, and sometimes in the open, they can be very sensual and sex-oriented.
That doesn't sound like you at all, Josh.
You've never heard any one of our episodes. You know that to be very true. Ascending Virgos have a lot of nervous energy and are usually tall and thin. The way they walk is gracious and smooth, but they do often tend to have respiratory illnesses, and allergies are common physical problems. Ascending Virgos are adaptive and restless. Earth being their element, they are practical and disciplined, and negative polarity makes them introverted, receptive, and caretaking. The natural curiosity of those born in a Virgo moon are nearly unmatched anywhere else in the zodiac. People with this placement in their birth chart are eager to learn as much as they can about the world and the people around them. With an often quick mind, they absorb information on a wide range of topics like a sponge. Virgo moon individuals are likely to have many different interests and hobbies over the course of their lives. This might mean that one day they take up pottery, and the next they're learning how to fix their car. Because this curiosity can make them mentally restless, they may not explore any of the topics in depth. But more than anything else, Virgo moon people are curious about people, what they do, what they create, and what makes them tick. And people watching is one of our favorite hobbies, which I can attest to. Virgo moon is well known as the most practical of signs, and this applies to individuals. Virgo is well known as the most practical of signs, and this applies to individuals with a Virgo moon as well. As logical thinkers, they often choose to do the practical thing as efficiently as possible. My best friend is a Virgo. I think that's one of the things that makes us so good as friends is she's quite opposite of me personality-wise, and I feel that we just balance each other in an almost perfect way. Discernment is an inborn gift of these observant individuals, and settling for less than the best is not in our vocabulary. You might say that refinement is a way of life for people born with this placement. In addition to cultured behavior and taste, these folks tend to constantly work to refine themselves in order to become the best versions of themselves possible. Even though that process may take a lifetime, but to someone with a moon in Virgo, it is worth the time and effort. Like in Shane's chart, my moon helps to bring equilibrium to my sun sign. My air sign in Libra tends to keep me in the clouds, or my own imagination at times, but my Virgo keeps me somewhat humble and gives me what little bit of reality I have. I strongly possess many qualities in Libra, including self-confidence, a desire for balance, beauty, and harmony in life, and the belief that I just want everyone to get along. Along with my Sagittarius moon and Virgo rising, they all work together to pull at both ends of my scale, keeping me unbalanced naturally when I don't work on them. With Libra air as my center, my earth and fire signs pull me in one direction or another. My fire sign feeds all the qualities in my air sign that can make me be more conceited and self-absorbed. But when my earth Virgo has hold, it is what makes me more caring and grounded and keeps me away from total world domination. The Libra is the only zodiac sign that is not a animal or person. We are the scales. So we're very all about balance and harmony. Mm. Even our goddess, if you've ever seen a courthouse, or it's the goddess of justice, the blind goddess holding the scales. Mm-hmm. That's my zodiac. And that is our star charts. I mean, of course, they go into a lot more depth than I printed off both of your star charts, which if you ever want, I can teach you about. But I mean, if you look at them, you're like, what the hell is this geometry? Yeah, I thought that was very interesting. In all of them, I found a lot of similarities. Of course, because of our traumas and other things that we've gone through after we were born under those star signs have helped shape who we are. But I find it fascinating to read about that stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure I've had it done before. Don't remember who it was that done it, but I mean, I agree with 95% of it anyway.
Yeah. I felt that in all of us, there were more yeses than there were noes.
Yeah.
Well, my bless your heart for today goes to a man from Hawaii named Paeli Kiakona, who braved 13 miles of wildfires to save his grandma.
Aw,
that's cute.
When he first heard of the fire spreading near his grandma's house, he jumped on his bike and started riding through it. He faced rapidly advancing flames, strong winds, thick smoke, and roads blocked by fire and fallen trees. Once he arrived at his grandma's house, he urged her and her tenant to leave. And less than half an hour later, her home was completely engulfed in flames from the quickly approaching wildfire. He said that there were points where he felt like giving up, as he was afraid for his own life. But he felt that he was being protected and guided to push through to save his beloved grandma. To Paele Kiakona and his grandma, we give you a huge bless your heart. There are few things in this world more precious than the bond between a grandma and her grandsons. If you are lucky enough to still have yours, fight through anything to keep her safe. May you both cherish the value of that love for as long as possible.
How sweet is that?
I thought it was so cute. And he's a cutie pie. He's like 28, 29 years old. Just like a little cutie pie. I want to make a biscuits. And remember to follow us on Instagram or join us on Patreon for bonus episodes of Unmasked. You can find us under the username at It's Mystery Inc. And don't forget to check out Shane and Josh's Rabbit Hole on Facebook. And be sure to visit our website, itsmysteryinc.com, where you can buy all of our merchandise and listen to all of our past episodes. We have my Amazonite necklaces, little dicks. We've sold Kim's BVDs finally.
Finally, somebody can take my BVDs.
We also have t-shirts you can get personalized, coffee cups, and tumblers. I'm so glad your panties sold.
Me too.
Got them sitting right there, big old pink silky bloomers.
When he sent us that, I was howling, just rolling on the floor.
When it came through, I was cracking up laughing. I was like, oh my gosh.
Well, when she got here, I was like, that's going to be a funny package to open. Mm-hmm. The world's biggest pair of underwear and a small little tiny dick. What a weekend. We also welcome your contributions. If you have any suggestions for mysteries, heartwarming stories, if you've heard of any unusual criminal behavior, someone that needs to touch grass, or something that's left you shit and fire, please don't hesitate to share them with us. Do you guys have anything else left?
No. Did I talk about the pumpkin contest that we're going to do?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You need to. I already have my ideas picked out.
So on Patreon, we're going to do a pumpkin contest for Halloween. The three of us are going to do one, and we're going to let the Patreons
decide who wins.
And so we just get bragging rights. But then we're going to also do one for Patreons. They can do a pumpkin, send me the thing. We'll make a post, let everybody vote on them.
That'll be fun.
And then whoever wins the pumpkin contest is going to get a prize.
Nice.
What I that like prize that. Is, I don't know yet. But
we're going to ship you, Kim.
You got a whole.
She's all yours.
And of course, don't forget, if you join Patreon also, we need 15 new Patreons, and we're going to do a live event. Mm-hmm. Shane's going to tell a nice story. And Josh is going to make me up in drag.
Going to turn Kim into a woman.
First time in her life. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I'm excited. I already got the wig picked out.
What color am I going to be?
It's my green.
You'll wig. Be white, Kim. We green? Can't use blackface. That's wrong.
We're going for fantasy here, Kim. I want to make you look completely, you will not look like Kim Morrow, Kim Barntaller.
I like that.
Yeah. I'm going to make you look, do. I even have a little waist trainer. We're going to girdle you up.
Oh, my God.
Give us some shape to you. Lift, put my chicken cutlets in your bra and percolate.
We're going to, let's make a fake Facebook profile and address.
Who's
catfish him. You're awful.
Or catfish him.
I'm super excited about the pumpkin contest, though. Mm-hmm.
Me too.
When Shane and I worked in hell, we always had a pumpkin contest and I won one year and got second another year. And that's the one thing that I missed after leaving there is not doing the pumpkin contest. Mm. So I had to find some way of bringing it back.
We did it at the nursing home too. And it's just, it's so much fun. I love it. Yeah, I'm going to win.
I don't know about that.
I was scouring Pinterest.
Oh, I have too. I have so many things saved that I like and want to do. And I don't, it's going to take a lot to figure out which one I'm actually.
Well, I found one that I liked, but I'm like, no, that's not good enough to win. And what's winning is important.
Now, when we post the photos on Patreon for the three of us, mm-hmm. we can't tell them who's the same.
No, yeah. No, we won't.
It'll be anonymous.
We'll put an A with one, a B with one, and a C with one. And then all they have to do is put the letter that they want to win, and that's the way we'll do it. Mm-hmm. Nobody will know whose is whose.
I saw one. I'm not going to do it, so I'll say it. And you take a pumpkin and put it on its side where the little hole is at the bottom, and you put a G-string on it.
Oh, I've seen that.
Pull it to the side.
Yeah,
I was like, that's not enough to win. No, that's funny. That's
funny. That is funny.
Josh and I are.
I know.
We're going to be duking it out.
The most plain one will be mine.
You're going to have to start looking through Pinterest and find you a good idea.
Heck, I'm just going to post a plain pumpkin.
Yours just has a handprint on it.
No, I'll draw.
Listen, you could do Will. Or you could be paint it white and put your handprint on it. You could be Wilson.
Don't know who's
Wilson. Oh. I can't wait. I'm excited.
It's going to be fun.
It is going to be fun. I'm excited. Ooh. I want to do it. I want to do it now. And
it'll be rotten.
Right?
Yeah, I've done that. I've carved pumpkins too early.
Let's see, I don't ever carve mine.
Oh, I like to do like intricate carvings, like something cool and unique. Mm. I like to do it where you only take out like the outer peel of the pumpkin and, you know, mm-hmm. like with fruit carving and stuff, right. like mm-hmm. watermelons, that It's a lot more work, but yeah. So pretty. And if you wash them in bleach, a bleach water bath, they'll last a lot longer.
Oh, wow.
I've had them last to like Thanksgiving.
I'm hoping I can find some place on the way home. I need a couple of pumpkins for my front porch. I got me some mums the other day, so now I need a couple of pumpkins.
Well, if you don't do the bleach water bath, you can always feed your pumpkins to local wildlife. A lot of different animals eat them. And where we go, well, not anymore. He's 13 and doesn't want to go anymore. But where we used to take my godson trick-or-treating, it was notorious for having drunk squirrels. Like anybody that had pumpkins, their pumpkins would just be torn to shreds with those little squirrel teeth marks. And you'd see the pumpkins get fermented. And the squirrels literally get drunk eating these pumpkins. You'd see them like, they'd be walking towards you, stumbling, or they'd try to jump to a tree and then just fall right back down on it. It's hilarious.
The first thing I asked Emily when they bought their house, because they are in a really nice neighborhood in Muncie. It's one of the biggest, nicest neighborhoods in Muncie. And so that's where everybody goes to go trick-or-treating.
Rich.
And I told her, I said, hey, I said, can we please do trick-or-treating, give away candy?
It's so much fun.
And I haven't done it in years, which for a long time, which after Amber passed away, I wanted nothing to do with Halloween. I just couldn't do it. My cousins always took Emily and they went. But because she had been at a Halloween party that night, I just hadn't been able to do it. So it's just been within the last few years that I have really felt that I'm able to celebrate the holiday again. And so, but it's not going to do me any good where I live because I live out in the middle of nowhere.
Right. I get the creepy neighbors' kids.
Yeah. I mean, the neighbors is the only one that has kids in the whole, you know, little town. So it wouldn't do me any good to do it then. So I was really excited. She's like, yeah, we can do it. We can do it. So we're planning on Adam and Lissa's going to come over. We're all going to dress up and hand out Halloween candy. I'm so excited.
I love it. Where we take my godson, people, you know, bring out little fire pits and sit in their driveway. One place always grills hot dogs and gives kids hot dogs and candies. But if you do trick-or-treating, don't be giving out no apples, no damn grapes, and none of them damn little Bibles. Nobody wants that. And that's how you get toilet papered by me.
We used to have a lady that, when I was a kid, and she did it even when my kids were small and went trick-or-treating uptown, she always gave a dime so that you could go to the penny candy store, you know, and get your own candy.
That's
so
cute.
It was always a dime.
That's cute. I'm just picturing the old, I gotta save my dimes all year for trick-or-treating.
My favorite one, they always used to do popcorn balls.
Oh, yeah.
And they were my favorite, so they knew when I took my kids. Well, number one, my kids didn't like them, so I always got theirs anyway.
So good.
But they'd always give me a couple when I would bring them, so I always got extra ones.
Yeah, we were right on the end of that era where people would give out homemade candy and stuff, and then now they're, everybody believes the lies that people have been poisoned by candy, and the only case has been that one that was from his own dad.
Yeah, we, last weekend, Emily and I went together and we got a membership to BJ's, a wholesale club. And so we went there last weekend. We was looking at all the big bags of candy. We're like, okay, we're in a big neighborhood now. Mm-hmm. Everybody and their brother's going to go, we need to get a lot of candy. So we're going to start buying candy every week when we go.
When I worked at the nursing home, we did trick-or-treating there where we would, all the residents that wanted to would dress up. We'd have them sit outside in their wheelchairs of their rooms and just, you know, it was an eighth of a mile long, the facility. So it was a safe, warm, heated place that kids could come in. And I mean, each resident, and they have dementia. So they'd give a kid candy and then, oh, hi, nice to see you. Have some another.
Yeah.
And then we'd wheel them back in there.
Yeah, we used to do that when I worked there, and I always took the girls over there to go trick-or-treating. And at that time, we had two Shih Tzu dogs.
Oh,
so we'd dress the Shih Tzus up and take the Shih Tzus too. And the people just absolutely loved seeing the dogs dressed up in costume.
So yeah, if you live near a nursing home, look up to see if they have trick-or-treating because the residents just,
they just love it.
They look forward to it all year long. We would have like five huge totes full of candy that we would either get donated or use our activities budget to buy. And my favorite part was when we'd put the residents to bed afterwards and, you know, you transfer them from their wheelchair and they just be sitting on empty candy wrappers. Like, Mary, you got diabetes. You know, who put that there? I love it.
Some that kid. Little girl must have put that right there when she stuck that candy in her mouth.
Well, our job was to walk around, you know, give them the pumpkins full of candy to pass out. And I'd be like, I just filled your pumpkin full of candy. How'd you give it? Oh, this one girl looks so cute. I just dumped it all in her bag. Like, these kids are hitting the jackpot. Yeah,
that's funny.
I like it better than, I hate the trunk or treating.
Mm. Like I've never done that. Little babies, I've never even seen it.
I can see, you know, that can't walk very far, but I love, I mean, we went to a huge neighborhood and like that's half the fun. I mean, we live in Indiana. It's snowed on Halloween before.
Oh, yeah.
But just bundle up.
Yeah. If we have a home football game the week of Halloween, they'll do trunk or treat before the football game, but I've never done it.
All right. Are you guys ready to talk crap on Unmasked?
Yeah.
I got to go pop. And on Unmasked, join us because I have a little bit more about John Dee, Queen Elizabeth's advisor. And I looked into our star charts a little bit about our future.
Oh, boy.
Dun, dun, dun. Kim, you ain't gonna make it.
I'm not surprised.
All right, we'll see you guys later.
Bye.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.